Dear friends in Christ, in human experience, there is a phenomenon that is no stranger to many of us. Love unreturned, unreciprocated, spurned, and betrayed. It is a painful and distressing experience when our care for or our love for someone is met with rejection and betrayal on the part of the one we love. Yet unreturned or unrequited love is a universal experience, not only in romantic relationships, but also in friendships and even in family relationships. A husband betrays his wife. A mother's will is contested by the son against his father. The daughter left the house and her distraught parents without offering any reason. I think we are not too unfamiliar with these tragic stories. Few families indeed are spared of the reality of betrayal and immense hurt that it inflicts on us. The Bible itself offers a startling panorama of spurned love. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob hears the complaints of his people. He liberates them from the yoke of slavery and makes with them a covenant of enduring fidelity. And yet in return, the people consistently manifest their hardness of the heart. They reciprocate God's immense love with ingratitude and disloyalty. In the first reading, we listen to Isaiah's Song of the Vineyard, which is a heartrending reminder of such love. God plants a vineyard with loving care so it may yield fruit, but what comes of it are wild grapes, sour grapes. He pleads with the vineyard keepers, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the people of Judah, what more was there to do for my vineyards that I had not done? Here the song turns tragic, as God will cause ruin to the vineyard because he looked for judgment and received bloodshed, for integrity, but he received a cry of bloodshed. The Gospel elaborates on the same theme using almost the identical characters in the Old Testament Song of the Vineyard. A man plants a vineyard reminiscent of God's care in Isaiah. He leases the vineyard to others and then wants his share of the produce when the time comes. He sends three servants to collect his due, but the wretched tenants abuse and kill them. More are sent, but they are treated the same way. With incredible logic, the owner thinks that if he sends his son, the tenants will respect him. But not surprisingly, the tenants see this as an act of desperation and seize and kill the son too. But here comes a twist in the plot, a surprise in the story. The suffering and death of the son does not mean that the tenants will have their wicked way. God turns his plan to triumph by raising the rejected servant. The stone rejected by the builders becomes the cornerstone. Just as he embraced life through rejection and death, each of us is called to live the powerlessness and the vulnerability of Jesus. The parable expresses the essence of the God of love, despite our infidelity, our betrayal, and our ingratitude, God continues to go in search for our love. This is called a divine pathos, which is the great paradox of biblical faith, a longing God in pursuit of humanity, and he doesn't give up. Jesus, who later laments over Jerusalem, brings to expression this shocking side of God's love, the love that will ultimately spell his own death. O Jerusalem that killed the prophets, how often I long to gather your children together as a mother hen gathers her chicks under her wings. Dear friends, we are too familiar with the tragic consequences of love unrequited and betrayed. In the light of scriptures, we can review our own response to God's love and see whether we ourselves are guilty of spurning or betraying divine love. Each of us can honestly assess whether we have behaved like the tenants in the parable by way of our self-indulgence, our pursuit of worldly values, our neglect of spiritual life. And furthermore, we can also look at the way we conduct ourselves in relation to friends, family, neighbors, in other words, our relationships with others. God expects from us responsible stewardship, the fruit that we should produce of kindness, patience, gentleness, generosity, service, and kindness. Paul exhorts us to pursue these things in the second reading. The example of Jesus, who loved despite being unreciprocated, offended, and even betrayed, becomes a model for us. When we come up against the failings of others, even our loved ones, when we meet with ingratitude, we can learn from the example of the suffering servant. It is he, rejected, spurned, and betrayed, who became the cornerstone of our lives. In Jesus, we meet a God who saves not by power and greatness, by vengeance, but by suffering. Our God who saves us via the one who suffers. And in this consists the paradox of the Christian faith. The God of power chose the path of weakness, vulnerability, suffering, and death. So may he guide us as we endeavor to follow his Son on the straight and narrow way of the cross. May we always be inspired by the example of his persistent and generous love for us, so that we can do the same, even in times that we experience hurt, disappointment, and letdown. May the words of Christ spur us on, despite not seeing the rewards of our suffering faith. The stone rejected by the builders becomes the cornerstone, and this is a marvel in our eyes, and we rejoice in it.